Good morning, everyone. How are you? Good. Hopefully you're enjoying the conference and the city. My name is Felicia Bass, and I hail from California in the Central Valley. Not sure if everyone is familiar with where Merced County Central Valley is located, but we're right between San Francisco and LA. This is a project at Golden Valley Health Centers where we've partnered with Georgetown University for the first time in a very exciting application of an international best practice here domestically, as they call it, but specifically at a federally qualified health center. We have no relevant financial relationships to disclose, so we have to make sure we say that. And so basically the essence of our project is that if you take this notion of when patients come in to seek services, they kind of come in for primarily one, maybe two things. But it's highly, highly likely they have a variety of needs that should be addressed, could be met, and oftentimes we're just addressing that kind of chief complaint. And so what this project was to try to systematically screen for unmet needs so we could maximize that encounter and deliver more services in that one visit. So as I mentioned, it's looking to detect unmet health needs and improve clinic efficiency. So what I'm about to describe for you was the implementation of what is essentially the essence of the intervention and how we systematically screened and detected for those unmet needs, and speak a little bit about our clinic efficiencies and how we operationalize that. So at Golden Valley Health Centers, in our partnership with Institute for Reproductive Health, they do a lot of work at Georgetown University, and Kimberly is very key in a lot of that work outside of the United States. And this was a mechanism to try to test how feasible would it be to apply that international best practice to a local U.S. setting. Let me give you a little bit of information about Golden Valley Health Center so you can understand the magnitude of the project. We are a federally qualified health center, 26 sites. Our geographic area is about 3,000 square miles. We see 97,000 patients a year, 300,000 encounters. We have about 700 employees. So if you think about an international best practice and what it means to bring it to the U.S. in kind of a complex structure, that's really what we were testing the essence of. So what were we looking to do? We were looking to primarily integrate the use of family planning services. This project is funded by the Office of Population Affairs. And we're looking to increase the use of family planning services in screening for STIs treatment and provide STI screenings, as well as provide diabetic screening and counseling, as well as to assess weight and particularly BMI. So if someone came in for that broken ankle, the check on the cast, a well child, a physical, an annual physical, we were looking for opportunities to do these additional services, and that's what we systematically screen for. When we think about this project and kind of why diabetes, why family planning, well, the funder, being the Office of Population Affairs, has an interest, obviously, in family planning and reproductive health, and so that was definitely a driver. But when you think of the predominance of overweight obesity in our country, the incidence of diabetes, and what that is causing, when you correlate that to the effects of an unplanned pregnancy and what overweight obesity and even diabetes could do, it's really, really important that we address these issues prior to women conceiving. Okay? So that's kind of the why. So what I'm going to get to primarily and focus a little bit more on is what did we actually do? So we developed this tool. As you can see, it's very colorful. It's segmented into three sections. So if you look at the far left where it says the label, kind of the reason for that visit, and the BMI chart, that's known as section one. If you look at the four columns across the middle, top right, weight management, diabetes, family planning, and sexually transmitted infections, where that was our systematic screening assessment. And down at the bottom, where you see it's called clinician test, service, and counseling, this is kind of our action step, our part three. So I'm going to be going, back and forth in between these two slides. This was a process that wasn't just an add-on for an MA. Kind of, oh, have the MA, ask these questions real quick. We designed this in a way where it included and incorporated a role for all staff, from the front office to the back office, which is our medical assistants and nurses, to the providers, who are our clinicians, including mid-levels, possibly even involving our health educators and behavioral health counselors. And then it was a very comprehensive process, and it came back around to the front office. So when you think about a patient comes in, I see what they're coming in for, I know their chief complaint. I am at the front office as a receptionist. I'm screening for their language. This is a bilingual tool. The front side is English, or one side is English, the other side is Spanish. And I'm affixing that encounter label on the side that is language appropriate so that the questions are asked in the patient's preferred language. As a medical assistant, when I'm calling that patient back, I am completing the section underneath, which is identifying the reason for their visit, assessing their BMI. And what was really, really fascinating, which Kimberly will go into, 82% of the people who came in had the BMI greater than 25. Okay? And so just from that prompt alone, if you can think of someone coming in for a physical or coming in for a check on their cast, and now we've got a greater than 25 BMI, and they say, you know what, yes, I am interested in losing weight, I am interested in nutrition counseling, just imagine the action needed to respond to that unmet need in addition, before even going on to that, are you at risk for diabetes, would you like to change your method, and by the way, do you need a STI screening and service? So very, very involved. Our clinician, once they see the answers to these questions, they serve as prompts to take action so that they could say, oh, I noticed that you're interested in losing weight. Would you be interested in seeing our health educator after this appointment today, after you know your time with me today? So it allowed them to take action. And then it was possible for those patients to see the health educator, which is where it says provides education counseling or a lab test. It was possible for them to receive those additional services that day, or according to the bottom here where it says action, the actions taken was that they could have been provided that service that day, or scheduled to return with a clinician, or scheduled to come back and see the health educator at a later date, or possibly it just didn't apply, so it was not applicable. So that's the essence of our tool. As the patients went out, especially if they needed additional visits, that would then involve the receptionist again in scheduling that future appointment. So I will pass it over to Kimberly.
Thank you, Felicia. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the study design and the results. We're using a pre-post test experimental design, which compares results of four intervention clinics with four matched control clinics. Baseline and end-line measures include patient surveys, chart reviews, and provider interviews. Service statistics are used to monitor services during the visit, and during the implementation of the systematic screening, provider shadowing was conducted to assess the fidelity of the intervention, to see how well the staff integrated and implemented the intervention at the four sites. And during this first year of the study, we did formative research, baseline exit interviews with patients, and also the intervention was lasted for 3 months, starting in January, February of 2012, and going through the end of May in the beginning of June. So I'm going to be reporting on the results of the baseline patient exit interviews, the fidelity research, and the end-line staff in-depth interviews in about 5 minutes. So here we go. The results of the baseline exit interviews, and there were about 500 at both intervention and control sites, we found that over 50%, almost 50% of the patients desired additional services. And of the patients that we interviewed, about 25% did receive additional services. Those that didn't ask for services or didn't get additional services, some of the top reasons that they said that they didn't get these services was they didn't ask or tell the provider that they were interested in services. They weren't aware that they could actually request something in addition to what they had come in for, or they planned to make an appointment in the near future. And when we asked patients, well, if you were going to get additional services, what is it that you would really like to have additional services in? And they said nutrition, diabetes, birth control. So information on, and services on these areas, which if you remember from the systematic screening tool that Felicia showed you with all the colors, that's what we were screening for, in addition to prevention and testing of sexually transmitted infections. So in terms of assessing the fidelity of the intervention, one of the things that we did not too far into the intervention was to shadow, one of the research assistants shadowed a patient, 22 patients, from intake to exit. And so they followed with the patient and observed what the experience was with the front office staff, the back office staff, the medical assistants, and also the experience with the provider. And then documented this on an observational checklist. And so 17 women and 5 men patients, male patients, were followed and shadowed during the fidelity the fidelity research for the intervention. In terms of the shadowing results and staff performance, we found that front office staff did a very good job of identifying which patients should be screened, attaching that screening tool, the systematic screening tool, to the chart so that the medical assistant had it there to ask the screening questions. Areas of improvement included thanking the patient for the visit and also scheduling referrals or additional visits in the future. In terms of the MAs, the medical assistants who were in the back office, very good compliance in asking those questions. There was, in terms of areas of improvement, it was around asking some of those really sensitive questions about family planning, about if you're having sex now, if you're possibly at risk for a sexually transmitted infection, and even questions about weight. That was a stretch for what the medical assistants typically did at the agency. In terms of the clinician providers, of the 22 patients that were followed, on 20 occasions, the providers did look at the checklist and incorporated the findings from the checklist into the care that was provided for those patients. And so in terms of areas of improvement, we're looking at systemizing this and making it even greater staff performance, as well as addressing more than just one or two of the additional services that are identified. Now, when Felicia mentioned, here you can see that 82% of those patients who came through had a BMI of greater than or equal to 25. So they were in the overweight or obese category. And if you look at that weight column, you can see that additional services were offered for patients as related to weight, diabetes counseling, and also a little bit in terms of STI prevention and testing. We didn't see any increase in family planning during that shadowing experience, and many of the women who came through of those 17 were actually using a family planning method or in menopause and not in need of family planning. In terms of the in-depth interviews with staff after the intervention was over, we talked with staff at all different levels, the front office, the MAs, and the providers. And staff really thought that the tool was attractive, it was a trigger for asking these questions, and also it facilitated conversation about some of these issues that were challenging to talk about, like weight and family planning and risk or need for testing regarding sexually transmitted infections. The biggest issue, I think, is the continued implementation of the systematic screening was a challenge in the intervention sites. Is a quote from one of the staff that said, at the beginning, I felt like it went pretty well, and then toward the end, it just wasn't getting filled out, and it kind of faded away. So we're looking now at the end line results to help understand what it is that caused that drop and to look more at the end. We'll have more of that to be stay tuned for later. But in terms of the staff perceptions, they felt that it helped patients get more in touch with some of their needs, their healthcare needs, and it let patients know that they could request additional services and kind of help clinicians hone in on some high-need areas in the population to request and provide services in those areas. In terms of challenges, patient volume was a challenge, especially when there's a lot of waiting time in a clinic waiting room. In one of the sites, confidentiality in terms of the space to ask these questions, in addition to the regular height and measures for BMI, it added one more thing to what people had to do, to fill out the form, ask the questions, and we didn't have a way to filter out repeat patients. So if someone came in 2 or 3 weeks later and the form was, they're like, oh, we already did that. So in the effort to simplify, we were just going to move on, but that came up as an issue, as well as the difficulty scheduling additional services. So what's next? Complete the analysis, consider the effectiveness and feasibility and value of systematic screening, and the results of these 1,000 exit interviews, patient interviews that we still are left to analyze, as well as thousands of chart reviews that were done to look at the intervention and also the service statistics pre and post. And then disseminate results based on our outcome and what we find. Basically, complexity, although the tool is really simple, the integration of it was a bit complex. It was a took place during a time of EMR, a transition to EMR at all the sites. Maintaining motivation was challenging, and there were competing demands with staff. It was a new role for the medical assistants to be asking this, and they think they probably need more training and practice to do that. So what can we improve in terms of the implementation? Can we integrate this better by including prompts in the EMRs? And basically, we feel that we have a client-centered, holistic approach that creates a great potential to improve clinic efficiency and increase utilization, an opportunity for south-to-north diffusion. This was based on research that was done both in Latin America and Africa, very successful systematic screening projects there. And so the few that weren't, the issue was implementation and whether people actually did the screening. So we look forward to more work in this area to help reduce U.S. health disparities. Thank you very much.
So we have time for questions for either Felicia or Kimberly.
Was it offered in Spanish and English?
Yes, it was. The tool was bilingual, one side English, one side Spanish, and 85% of our staff are bilingual.
What was your population again?
We had four intervention clinics. So one was a women's health center. One was a small school-based health center, and each had a controlled match.
What was the
population? We included anyone that came into the clinic that was 18 years or older, that was not and for women not pregnant, but that would include men and women 18 years and older coming in for any services.
And the number is?
Oh, how many do we have?
Because how did you pick your sample? What, 25 or 22?
That's up to staff.
Oh, yes. That was just the, we did some staff in-depth interviews with staff at the end of the intervention to get their input in terms of what went well and what didn't. Those 22 clients were appeared on that day when the research assistant was there to observe their experience. So it happened over a 3 to 5 day period, I believe, at the four different sites. But that was just a staff, in-depth interviews with staff.
So 22 for four sites, or per site?
It was 22 for four, well, I'm sorry. There was 26 staff interviews, and there were the 22 clients that were shadowed for the fidelity research. They were at a total of 22 at the four sites. So it was 4 to 7 at each site.
So five were shadowed, but hundreds were conducted with the tool. We couldn't follow and directly observe the hundreds who received it.
Yeah. You have a population, so you know what sample do you take for study.
Right. And so we created a profile of who to shadow, you know, a distribution of male, female, what age, what they may have come in for. Yeah, that's a really good question. As always, when it's one more thing to do, there is a big sigh. So we had to really take an angle on this of team-based care, establishing all staff to function as a health coach, as someone who could support a patient. So it's not just the patient and the provider in the exam room, and that's the end of our service delivery. So it was within the context of a greater kind of cultural move. We had a huge investment in communications. So with our communications, customer service, the ability to ask tough questions in a very caring, sensitive manner, and the issue of behavior modification, and that we do training to help staff with their motivational interviewing skills to help move patients along a care continuum. All of this was kind of great timing, and it fit well in that sense. But in the end, it was one more thing to do. Because it was paper and we were going into EMR, that also kind of created the disruption, was a bit of a mismatch. But I think they definitely all saw value in this. By the time we did the in-depth interviews, they wanted to continue it. We just had to figure out a way to make it, you know, colorful on the EMR so there are prompts and questions and clicks. We even had suggestions like, why don't we have the patients fill this out before they come back here? So, but we had some sensitivities with that.
I was just going to also add that we did an in-use testing. So during the formative research time, there was a lot of meetings with different levels of staff to design the tool and the approach. And then before the intervention, we actually went to the clinics and talked with staff. We did a training with staff, and they used it for a day. And so after that period, we met with them again and said, you know, what worked, what didn't work. We further tailored the tool, and then later came back and did the intervention training.
Okay.